Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Yeah, the weather is getting colder, but the hot stove is definitely starting to heat up. Yankees made a big move earlier in the week to acquire James Paxton. We'll break down that trade, what it means for the Yankees now, how it impacts the Yankees moving forward this offseason. We'll also take a look at a couple of the minor deals that Brian Cashman and crew have put together over the last week. Getting the 40-man roster set before the Rule 5 draft, which is at the end of the winter meetings. Yankees do add one player to their roster, the 40-man. Their 40-man roster is now completed. We'll get to that later on in the show. A reminder, you can find us on Apple Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and rate the show. Leave a review, leave comments. Any kind of feedback you give us is appreciated. You can also find us on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and Simplecast. Follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. You could also follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. If you don't use Twitter, that's all right. You can still interact with us on Gmail. You can send us an email, pinstripetalk@gmail.com, obviously. There's a lot of ways to interact with us. We love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you join in on the conversation. Now, the big move that occurred this past Monday was the trade which brought James Paxton to the New York Yankees. And the Yankees had a goal in mind when the offseason began. And that goal was to bring in another pitcher that could fill in at the top of the rotation. Paxton is a guy that definitely could fit that bill. There are concerns about James Paxton, which we'll get into. However, he's a left-handed arm, has very good stuff in terms of arsenal. He's a guy that I feel could fit well in the Bronx, and he fits what the Yankees need right now. This trade was a right now type of move, and when we talk about the prospects in a little bit, I'll explain more about that. Paxton has 2 years left of club control, which is perfect for this Yankee team. Why? Paxton's a 30-year-old. 2 years puts him at 32. It gives the Yankees a chance to, number one, evaluate if he could pitch in the Bronx. We've seen it with guys like Sonny Gray. Just some guys don't pitch well in the Bronx. I don't think that's going to be an issue with Paxton. I think he'll fit in well. A guy with a high strikeout rate, I think that he could really fit nicely in the top of the Yankees rotation. There are some injury concerns with him, in terms of the fact that he went to the DL, I believe it was 6 times over the last 5 years. However, when you look deeper into the injuries, you kind of look for something that would hamper a pitcher or kind of throw up a red flag. So you look for the elbow, obviously, and you look for the shoulder. Luckily for Paxton, all of his injuries really don't include that. You know, he had a strained lat muscle. He had a middle finger issue, a forearm strain, and a back injury. So you avoid any shoulder and elbow injury. So for the time being, that's not a concern. Yes, Paxton hasn't thrown over 160 innings in a season yet. If you look at the last 3 years, 2016 he threw 121. 2017, 136. 2018, 160. Now, obviously, the Yankees have postseason aspirations. The Yankees have World Series aspirations. So if that's the case, Paxton's going to have to pitch more than 160 innings for the Yankees to be successful. If you look at those numbers, he's going in an upward trend, which is a good thing. You never want to see it going downward. So it's a risk that I think the Yankees took, thinking that as he gets older, you know, he's in the middle of his prime, he's a guy that will be able to figure it out. Let's face it. He's never started 30 games in the big leagues in one season, and he's never gone over 160 innings. So, it's either A, a time where Paxton's going to figure it out, or B, he's not going to be able to stay healthy. And if you listen to any of his comments, he does say, you know, I've learned a lot since I've been in the big leagues. I learned how to take care of my body better. I'm trying my best to stay on the field, stay healthy. This is a guy that wants to be out there every fifth day. And if the Yankees could keep him healthy, this could definitely work. One thing that I like about Paxton is the strikeout rate. You know, if you look at 2018, he struck out 208 batters in 160 innings. If you watch any film of him when he's on, he has really dominating stuff. And he's a guy that could definitely slide into the top of the rotation. You know, you look at Severino, you look at Tanaka, he could factor in somewhere there. That definitely helps the Yankees, especially when you look at their roster from last year. And what really hurt them in the postseason was their lack of starting pitching. That's really what the downfall was. So you add a guy like him, you obviously think the Yankees aren't done. They're still another starter short. But adding Paxton is an upgrade right now. And that's what the Yankees needed. And it was at a price that I think they're comfortable with. You know, Paxton goes to arbitration now. Last year he made about $4.9 million, which for a starting pitcher of his caliber and his talent, that's really a steal. Especially for a team that was trying to get under the luxury tax last year. Even though that's really not an issue now, having a guy under club control where you don't have to overpay him is always a nice luxury. Especially when you're looking to fill other holes on the roster. And now a lot of people have said, you know, the injury history is a problem. The lack of innings is a problem. You know, how he hasn't been able to sustain himself throughout the wear and tear. But my answer to that is this. The Yankees had a chance to get Justin Verlander, and they passed on the opportunity. Verlander went on, and we all saw what he's doing with Houston. He's basically a new pitcher. Last offseason, they rejected an offer to get Gerrit Cole. Yes, the asking price was very high. They were asking for Andujar and Clint Frazier, among others. But, again, somebody else made the move, and Cole made an impact with the new team, and that was the Houston Astros. A few years ago, the Red Sox gave up a lot to get Chris Sale. Chris Sale was a huge part of their World Series run this past year. In order to win in this league now, you need the pitching, and you need to take risks. And Brian Cashman was willing to take that risk to win now. Because let's face it, the Yankees think that their window to win is now with their young core. Their young core matched with their veteran presence that they have on the roster. When you look at what they gave up, those pieces are going to impact the Mariners in some way, somehow. But they're still a few years away. So the Yankees made a move thinking about the present and not the future. And I can't blame them for that. Because after watching the postseason, a move had to be made. The biggest piece that goes to the Mariners in that deal is Justice Sheffield, the Yankees' number one rated prospect. If you remember, Sheffield was acquired by the Cleveland Indians, from the Cleveland Indians, I should say, in the Andrew Miller trade. Him along with Clint Frazier. Now, Sheffield has some great pitches. You know, he has a lively fastball, a nice slider, a good changeup. There was control issues with Sheffield, but here was one thing that scared me with him. When the Yankees called him up at the end of the season, obviously he wasn't ready to start games for them, but he was used sparingly out of the bullpen. If you remember, in AAA, to kind of keep him on an innings limit, Sheffield was moved to the bullpen. I still think that there's a lot of Justice Sheffield that needs to be developed. You have to remember, he's only 22 years old. He has to work on his command and his control, and there are concerns about his size, that he can't get a downward plane. You know, he's not the tallest guy in the world, standing around 6 foot. With the Mariners, who are clearly now in a rebuilding mode, they could be patient with Sheffield. they can sit back and say, you know what? When we decide to call him up, we'll have 6 years of club control for him when he's ready. See, in New York, when the pressure's on to win now, you don't have that luxury. Sheffield's that number one prospect, and say the Yankees need a starter, he's the guy that everybody expects to be up, even if he's not ready. And we all seen in the past how rushing a player could really impact their career and how they struggle. So, yes, Sheffield is hard to part with. Seems like a good clubhouse guy. Seems like they really like him in the organization. You know, they did make the trade to get him. He was one of the pieces that they coveted in that Andrew Miller trade. But in order to win now, and in order to win, sometimes you have to give up something in return to get that quality that you need. And Sheffield was the casualty. You know, there's a lot of talk about Corey Kluber with the Indians, that Miguel Andujar was possibly in trade talks. You know, yes, it's hard to hold on to prospects, especially when they're thriving at the big league level. But it's also hard to part ways with guys that have a high ceiling and can be really good in this league. And over time, I think that Sheffield's going to be a piece in that Mariners rotation when they do compete again. They're looking at 2020 or 2021. I could see him being a number three starter or a number two. The ceiling is high for him as long as he continues to develop. And I'm sure as the centerpiece of that deal, the Mariners will do everything in their power to make sure that he succeeds and that he has enough time to get ready. And then you look at Erik Swanson, a guy that the Yankees were probably going to lose due to the Rule 5 draft. In case you didn't know, teams must put guys on their 40-man rosters that are eligible for the Rule 5 draft. There's a whole bunch of rules that if you have a certain amount of service time from the date you signed, how old you were, you're eligible to be selected by another team. If you are selected by another team, they can purchase your contract and you have to stay on their roster. If you do not stay on that roster, you're offered back to your old team for a fee. I believe it's $50,000. The Yankees didn't have any room for Swanson on their 40-man roster. He was a guy that was going to get claimed by somebody. At 25 years old, he has a very good arsenal. He's a very good arm. But again, in New York, he's not big league ready. So while they wait for him to develop, they're kind of at a tough spot in terms of what to do with them. So the Yankees used something that they weren't going to be able to keep and were able to turn it into something that can help them this year and beyond. Now, in case you don't know who Erik Swanson is, he's one of their most underrated prospects in my eyes. You know, you don't hear about him as much. He's not that Sheffield type of name, that type of Gleyber Torres type of name. Even though Gleyber's an infielder, there's not a lot of hype that was surrounding Swanson. However, he's been really solid with the Yankees. You know, you look at his stats this year, he was 8-2, 2.66 ERA. Really nice arm that the Mariners got. And when you're looking at a rebuild, you're looking to try to trade your assets for assets that you can use down the road when you're ready to compete. Kind of like when the Yankees traded away Chapman and Miller. It wasn't a full-blown rebuild, but they got pieces back that can impact them in the long haul. So the Yankees were able to turn Swanson into something good as part of this deal. Then there was a third piece to this deal, Don Thompson Williams. Now, if you're a common Yankee fan, you have no idea who this guy is because you really don't hear about him. With the Yankees' influx of outfielders, it's kind of hard. It takes away a lot of the attention. So, just so you guys are aware, 23 years old. He was drafted by the Cardinals in the 19th round of the 2014 amateur draft. And then he ended up going to school at South Carolina, where the Yankees picked him in the 5th round of the 2016 draft. So 2 years later, the Yankees grabbed him. Now, this is a guy that never reached higher than high A ball with the Yankees. Had a nice 2018. Hit 299, 22 home runs, 74 RBIs. Does have speed. He stole 20 bases, 29 attempts. Seems like a nice outfielder. But according to mostly everybody that has any intel on the Yankees farm system, it seems like Thompson's more of a organizational type of player. So it'll be interesting to see if Thompson Williams could turn into something, or the Mariners can groom him into a player that they can use. But it just seemed like he was lost in the shuffle in the Yankees organization, and he'll get a chance to have a kind of rebirth with the Mariners as they look to rebuild. So my thinking on the trade overall is this. The Yankees did a great job getting an arm that they need. They needed to add a top-of-the-line starter into the mix. It's a gamble that I am 150% willing to take. Because this is a type of move that shows that you're trying to win now. And it'll be up to Brian Cashman and crew to finish off the job this offseason and add the necessary pieces that they need in order to compete for number 28 this upcoming season. Yes, it's hard to part with prospects. We've seen it before. We'll definitely see it again. However, this is something that should excite Yankee fans, because I'm excited to see what Paxton could do in the Bronx. I think that he's going to make an impact. I think he's going to shock a lot of people, especially if he could stay healthy, give the Yankees those innings, the stability, and the talent that they know they're getting out of this guy. And I, for one, cannot wait to watch him pitch in the Bronx. So it'll be exciting as season comes closer. We'll take a quick break. We'll break down two minor trades that the Yankees have made this past week. And we'll look ahead. What's in store for the Yankees the rest of this offseason? We'll take a look at that and more here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Stay tuned. We hope that you are enjoying the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. If you have something to say or would like to comment on something that you heard on our show, please feel free to contact us via social media. You could contact our host, Nick Delahanty, on Twitter by tweeting at Nick_Delahanty, or you could send us an email, pinstripetalk@gmail.com. And we are back to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast here on Apple Podcasts. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. I firmly believe that Brian Cashman is the busiest man in the world during the offseason. That man, I'm pretty sure, doesn't sleep with all the moves and all the trade talks and free agent signings and free agent discussions that man goes through. He does a lot of work for the Yankees organization. He's been putting in the work this past week. We talked about the Paxton trade. He has also pulled off two more moves, which we're going to get into right now. The first of which being that the Yankees made a trade for Yeffrey Valdez from the Colorado Rockies in exchange for Jordan Foley, who's a right-handed pitcher. Now, Valdez is a 23-year-old, had a 5.82 ERA, 27 relief appearances in Class A for Colorado this year. Now, you look at the numbers and you say, you know, it's a minor move, kids in Class A, young arm. Why does this entice the Yankees? Well, Valdez had a ratio of 11.91 strikeouts per nine innings, which was fifth in the Northwest League. Now, we all know, this day and age, bullpen arms these teams look for, they look for lively arms that have the ability to strike out guys. So, I'm sure Brian Cashman sees something in Valdez where he can possibly turn him into a reliever of some sort that can impact the higher levels of the Yankees organization. Now, it's a low risk, high reward type of deal. You know, you give up Foley. He was the Yankees 26th round pick in 2011. A guy who pitched to a 2.98 ERA in 37 games out of the bullpen for Double A Trenton. You give up a solid arm, but you get another one back in return. Foley was most likely a guy they weren't going to keep around. Possibly eligible for the Rule 5 draft. I'm not 100% sure on that. You get a guy like Valdez, maybe you can, you know, keep the strikeout ratio up and lower the ERA with the right change of scenery, maybe. So you take a risk on Valdez, a move that, you know, it won't kill the Yankees if it doesn't work out, but it will benefit them nicely if it does. And then with that move, the Yankees also announced that they added Joe Harvey, not to be mistaken for Matt's relative, to their 40-man roster. He was the one player at the time that the Yankees decided to hold on to in order to not lose him at the Rule 5 draft. Now, Joe Harvey, a lot of people probably don't know who he is either. He has been a very solid reliever for the Yankees minor league system. Between AA and AAA last year, he had a 1.67 ERA and 11 saves in 59 and a third innings, 65 strikeouts to 25 walks over five seasons in the pros. He has a 1.75 ERA in 102 games, which 96 of those came out of the bullpen. Yankees' 19th round pick in 2014 really has turned out nicely for them. And now that he's on the 40-man roster, you might get a chance to see Joe Harvey pitching in the Bronx. He might actually get a chance to impact the Yankees' bullpen, depending on what the Yankees do throughout the rest of the offseason. So Harvey's a name to keep an eye on. The Yankees surely see something in him that they want to keep him around, and his numbers really can back it up as to why the Yankees would want to see what he can do, especially if they think he's close to big league ready. Then on Wednesday, the Yankees made a trade to acquire Tim LeCastro from the Los Angeles Dodgers in exchange for Drew Finley and cash considerations. Now, LeCastro's a guy that has big league experience. Not much, but he does. 21 career games in the big leagues with the Dodgers. He's a guy that I think the Yankees made the trade for due to the fact that he's versatile. And LeCastro was designated for assignment by the Dodgers as they look to clear spots on their 40-man roster. LeCastro is familiar with the New York area as he grew up in Auburn, New York, and he also went to Ithaca College, which is in Ithaca, New York. He was drafted by the Blue Jays in the 13th round of the 2013 amateur draft. Through six seasons in professional baseball, has a slash line of 291, 375, 401, and 602 career games. Now, this is a move where a lot of people say, you know, LeCastro is not a big name. You know, 21 games in the bigs, he really hasn't done much. However, versatility is the key here. He's a guy that has the ability to play not only all three outfield spots, but he can also play second base and shortstop. So he's a guy that I think the Yankees will take a close look at. They add him to the 40-man roster to complete the 40-man roster. He's a guy that I could see them giving a hard look at, especially depending on what they do in terms of the roster going into spring training. With Gregorius out for possibly half the year, the Yankees might look for guys that they can mix and match into the lineup every day and give a chance to earn a job. You know, they have a lot of versatility with Ronald Torres, Tyler Wade. Now you look at a guy like Tim LeCastro, he might add some versatility for a Yankee team that definitely can use some, especially given the uncertainty about what's going on with the rest of the roster. So a couple of small moves, a lot of low-risk, high-reward type of thing for the Yankees. I definitely don't think they're done in terms of trading. I could see a couple more trades going down. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Now, one of the other big conversations that has been going on is the debate about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. You know, a lot of people factor in, you know, Bryce Harper's the perfect fit in Yankee Stadium. He's a left-handed bat. He'd be a great addition to that Yankees lineup. And then you look at Machado, another guy, superstar talent, one of the best players in the world. There's questions about his hustling, which he went on an interview and kind of cleared the air about that, saying that, you know, he was caught at a bad time and tried to clear up those type of bad allegations that went toward him. Both players have their definite positives in terms of what they bring to the table, but there are doubts about both in terms of how they fit with the Yankees. Now, obviously, looking at the Yankees lineup, you would say, you know, plugging Harper into the middle of the Yankees lineup would be a no-brainer. However, you have Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, Giancarlo Stanton, who, let's not forget, has a monstrous contract. Then you throw in Brett Gardner, who you just re-signed. You have Clint Frazier, who's possibly on his way back. Hopefully, we all hope that Frazier's able to get off the injury bug that he's been dealing with. And the elephant in the room, which is Jacoby Ellsbury and his contract that nobody in their right mind would ever take. So the Yankees are kind of in a logjam in terms of outfielders, and there are rumors that Harper would be willing to play first base, but as it's been said, that's a risk that I personally would not be willing to take. Say you give him a 10-year, $350 million contract to play first base for the New York Yankees, and you go into the season and Harper cannot fulfill the role. Then what do? Do you have to run around and trade Stanton? Do you have to maneuver and maybe trade Aaron Hicks, a guy that's very valuable to you? There are things that Harper brings to the table, but right now, I think he's not a fit for the Yankees. I think if the Yankees really wanted him, they wouldn't have traded for Stanton. I think looking in hindsight, I think they would have held back and said, you know what? Let's wait for a guy that we could sign in free agency instead of giving up a lot to get the reigning National League MVP. So right now, I'm not sold that the Yankees are interested on Bryce Harper's radar. But, you know, it's a long offseason and things could change. It might not make sense today, but it could make sense tomorrow given what the Yankees decide to do. And Machado, I also don't feel is a fit right now. But I do think that the Yankees are more interested in Machado than they are Harper. Yes, Gregorius is out till probably July. Machado would be a great addition for the Yankees lineup. You know, you put him at shortstop for the time being with the intent that he moves to third base when Gregorius comes back. The issue remains, what do you do with Miguel Andujar? Arguably the best bat in your lineup last year. Do you go ahead and trade him with his defensive woes? Do you give up on him so early? Do you move him to another position? Maybe you shift him over to first base or possibly left field and have Stanton DH full time? I just don't think the Yankees are fully ready to give up on Miguel Andujar unless they could trade him for a top-of-the-line starting pitcher. And by top-of-the-line starting pitcher, I named three guys. Corey Kluber, Jacob deGrom, or Noah Syndergaard. I think anybody other than those three that are right now available, I don't think the Yankees pull the trigger. Machado's future, especially if he wants to play in New York, hinges on what the Yankees want to do with Miguel Andujar. Do they hold on to Andujar and maybe look to trade him at the deadline and get something back for him? Do you risk him coming into 2019 struggling, knowing that he is short-lived in New York? Do you hold on to him and keep telling him that he's the future of at third base for you? There are a lot of things the Yankees could do. And if I was them right now, I wouldn't tie myself down on a contract for Machado or Harper. Now, again, like I said about Harper, it might not make sense today, but it could make sense tomorrow. Say the Yankees overnight make a trade, and Andujar's in the package that goes the other way. Then Machado makes sense. But until then, I really wouldn't bind myself with a contract that in 7, 8, 9 years, I'm going to regret. And I'm going to have to live through the downfall of that given player, because let's face it, father time gets the best of everybody. Some guys later than others, some guys earlier. And Machado already has knee injury problems. So it's not a risk that I'm willing to take with Machado, but things can change as the offseason moves on. What do I think the next move for the Yankees will be? I think it's obvious. I think Sonny Gray is the next guy out the door. I think Cashman has a lot of interest from different teams. I would like to see what he can get in return, and we'll have to just wait it out. But I think that's the next domino to fall. Maybe a couple of signings here and there. You know, they're looking at the bullpen guys. There's rumors that they're into Adam Ottavino from Colorado. They're looking into bringing back Robertson and Britton. So there are a lot of different things that can happen. I will say this. I don't think that Cashman will wait too long to jump, but I do think that he'll wait to see how the market pans out, especially in terms of the big name guys, the Patrick Corbins of the world, the Harpers and Machados. Cashman's going to make sure that he gets the players that he needs at the price that fits the Yankees the best, or that fits the Yankees' needs. So he won't rush to make any sudden moves, but if the right move is there, Cashman will strike. And I think that it's an exciting time for Yankee fans because there's a lot of things that the Yankees can do this offseason. I think that they're gearing up to win now, which is exciting in itself because the last 2 years they've been really good and have fallen short. So Cashman's assessing the roster, see what they need, and they'll move on from there. We're going to wrap it up for today. As we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, I'd like to take some time to thank all our listeners for tuning in. You don't know how much it means to me that you tune in, take some time to listen to us talk Yankee baseball. We're passionate about the New York Yankees, and you are as well. Thank you for taking some time out of your day and week to spend it with us. Special thank you to family, friends, colleagues, everybody who supports the show. Words cannot describe how much it means to me in total. Make sure you continue to follow us. Apple Podcasts is the way to go. Like, subscribe, rate, review, leave comments on the show. Give feedback. We love to hear that from you. We love to get feedback, especially when it's on there. Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Simplecast. We're located everywhere on the web. You can find us. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you share your link with your friend. You share with one friend a week, that's an extra listener. We appreciate everybody who takes the time to listen in. Find us on Twitter, at PinstripeTalkND. My personal account, at Nick_Delahanty. You know, send us some emails, ask us questions for the show, pinstripetalk@gmail.com. As always, we love Yankee baseball. We hope you do as well. That will wrap it up for today's show. Make sure you stay with us throughout the offseason. We'll continue to break down all the latest news and rumors surrounding the Bronx Bombers. As always, go Yankees. I'm Nick Delahanty, and this was another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.